This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe. Now you've asked and we have received this feedback and we are going to improve by 13%. In what area? Well, you will find out. We are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today with a Chelsea episode. So I'm going to let her take over.
Tuning the dial to exactly 13%, by the way, incredibly hard.
It is.
Incredibly hard.
But we had our top scientists working on it.
Yep. We sure did. I think I got a fun one for you, Taylor. Today, we're going to be taking a glimpse into the world of Dogman. And not the novel written by Dave Pilkey. I know that's why you're getting excited.
No, I'm part of the subreddit, so I'm excited for this episode.
Okay. Well, I actually found out that the subreddit is bullshit.
Oh, it is.
They literally just talk about this podcast, or it's YouTube or something, and they just post episodes and talk about the episodes. So it's actually not actual Dogman sightings. They're just like, what one's the scariest Dogman sighting? And they're like, oh, episode 26.
Yeah, that's why I don't read it that much, but I am a member of the
subreddit. Yeah, I am too, and I didn't actually pay attention to it that much before, apparently, because I didn't know that's what they were up to, which is talking about some YouTube channel, which is completely useless to me. Anyhow.
I don't think Dave Pilkey's inspired by Dogman, right? Like the cryptid.
You know, I couldn't confirm or deny that.
We would have to get him, and I think he's probably, of the people we've talked about, he might be the hardest outside of the people who are dead.
True. We could get David Wilcock on here probably before David.
Oh, 20 bucks.
If not bad daddy or grandma. So, Dogman actually has a long and rich history, and for some reason, strangely concentrated around the Great Lakes, mainly Michigan and Pennsylvania. Crazy, I know. There's some outside of those areas, but there's a weird concentration of them here as well. And I will have you recall back to Chicago Mothman, who is in the same area, funnily enough. And I will also not call you back to any other episode, but I'm sure there are many more weird things happening around there if they got Mothman and Dogman.
Yeah, it is weird that I don't think there's any cryptids in the actual lakes themselves.
No, I've never heard of what. There may be. I've never actually looked into it.
Yeah, neither have I.
You would think.
And now that I said it, we're going to look like real fools, I bet.
Oh, yeah, because it's probably full of them. Some other sort of man is in there.
Yeah. No, see, I think it's just filled with the remains of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That's all I know about the Great Lakes.
Yeah, I don't even know that one. I don't even know who that is.
That's the song. Gordon Lightfoot?
No, maybe. Okay. If I heard it, maybe I'd know.
I don't know.
And so I assume this has to be the Great Lakes doing some weird shit, because Pennsylvania, it's not touching much of the Great Lakes, but there's one tiny sliver touching it. So I assume that counts to me. There's a lot of weird stuff going around those lakes. Someone ought to look into it. Probably won't be us. Well, maybe in like here maybe. And there we'll touch it. Yeah.
You guys
maybe.
Give us enough money. It's going to take more than David Wilcock money to get us to look into this more. But we will if the money's right.
It's true. We'll pretty much do, well, we'll do a lot of things for money, probably. We wouldn't know that right now. But so, we've looked into lycanthropy before. I learned that word in that episode. I believe Taylor blessed us with that episode.
Yes, a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. We've also looked at some dogman type creatures before, such as the Beast of Bray Road. I think we did that one.
Pretty sure. We've done a whole werewolf episode, which is basically a dogman of type.
It basically is, actually.
Yeah.
So, while werewolves would turn into this, there's no mention with dogman of them transforming from human to man. I think they're just overall accepted that that is their form. So, common traits will describe dogman as a bipedal wolf-like creature with human-like features. They vary encounter to encounter. Imagine a giant, somewhat muscular man, depending on the sighting, depends on how muscular.
I've seen a lot of the Arter's renditions where they just make him the beefiest ripped boy that ever did live.
Yep. Some are like coyote skinny, you know, like a lot skinnier than that. Some are super jacked. Some of them standing 7 feet tall with the head of a German Shepherd or a timber wolf. Some of them are slightly dog-like with like a human nose. Unlike traditional werewolves, Dogman is not said to transform during the full moon or shift from human to beast. It's usually described as a permanent creature, part man, part wolf, seen in rural forests, often at night. I think the most overwhelmingly weird thing that you're going to recognize a Dogman creature from is that it's standing upright on its hind legs. Completely unnatural. I know where you would say, like, oh, there's a cryptid, bears walk on their hind feet sometimes. Dogs don't generally do that.
No.
As a rule.
And I do think, from my understanding of it, is that Dogman seems to have more sentience to it than a werewolf, in that it seems to kind of have, like, some cognition of the world and, like, understanding of humans.
There is also, in some cases, I don't know that I talk about it, which is why I say
there are some talking dogs.
Some talking dogs. Yes, there are. There's some that report mind speak from Dogman, which I don't think has generally been associated with werewolves.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
Although, to be fair, I bet there's more people that have reported mind speaking with their dogs than there are Dogmen.
You think?
Yeah, there's more dog interactions, so I'm guessing there's more.
Mind speak is when a thought goes into your head. Do people generally do that with their dogs?
Yeah, you don't think there's people out there that say their dog has, like, mind shared with them?
Maybe, but that's not, like, a thought coming in. Maybe. I'm not gonna say no, actually. I mean, I can get what a dog's trying to say, what our dogs have been trying to say.
Well, they're more subtle about it than Dogman.
They don't actually say it in my head, though. They're not like, let me in, you son of a bitch, you forgot me outside. Okay, their height can be between 6 to 8 feet sometimes when upright, 3 to 4 feet at the shoulder on all fours. I don't even know what that means.
I do like that you added sometimes there. Just we're going to give you a general idea of what it can be within, but it won't fit that all the time. Only sometimes.
It sure won't. Eyes are often described as having eye glow or eye shine. What one's the one that I want? They
shine.
Light themselves up. They don't.
Oh, shine. I thought you mean shine. Like that thing when you like shine a flashlight on them.
They don't have that. They actually glow.
Oh, then it's glowing eyes.
Glowing eyes. Either amber or icy blue. A beautiful icy blue. Head, clearly canine, like a German Shepherd or wolf. And like I said, sometimes it's... Can you imagine if it was a pug?
Oh man, there's so many different dog breeds where their head just would not fit on a human's or would fit too well, like a bulldog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bulldog. Oh, if I saw someone even, like that...
No, that's just a human.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you're so cute.
It's just a human. Or a boxer.
Sounds, apparently. Deep growls or screams resembling a human. We already talked about the mind speak. Sometimes there's mind speak, telepathy, that they're protruding their thoughts into your head. They move fluidly on two legs, but can drop to all fours. They seem to be a fairly aggressive cryptid, and they're known to approach or confront humans, especially near fresh kills, so deer or livestock. So pretend you asked, what is the difference between dogmen and werewolves? Which I've already told you a little bit, but I could tell you more. Many dogman accounts blur with traditional werewolf stories. Pennsylvania in particular has historic werewolf stories, like the 1899 Northumberland legend, where a man shoots a wolf but finds a dead human at the end of a trail. That's just a tragic accident, it sounds like.
That sounds like somebody trying to get away with murder, actually.
Yeah, it could be that.
You wouldn't believe it. I was shooting a wolf, got down there, guy was a werewolf. Guaranteed.
2011, Bradford County report, a large wolf-like creature spotted running on two legs along a road. I'm sorry, if I saw something like that, I would freak the fuck out. And then Linda Godfrey, who's a cryptid researcher or something like that, links dogman sightings to the Beast of Bray Road in Wisconsin, which is a very similar creature. So, sightings of dogman go way back. Pre-1887, there's early lore and folklore about dogman, or wolf cryptid things. This creature was unknown to most of the modern world until very late in the 20th century. It is said to have been stalking the area around the Manistee River since the days when the Odawa tribes lived there. In 1794, in Fur Trader Journal, Wexford County, Michigan, a French fur trader records an encounter near the Manistee River, describing a creature called a loup garou, French for werewolf. And either we talked exactly about this sighting, or we just talked about the loup garou, which is just French for werewolf. So it
that
could
is
be
such
both.
A better name for a werewolf. Can you imagine screaming that in like horror, running away from something?
And of course, you have to have a bottle of wine while you're yelling that to make it even classier. He noted it was large, wolf-like, and moved unlike a normal animal. This region was home to the Odawa tribes, and indigenous Algonquin legends mention similar wolf-human hybrids. There are Native American connections during this time that go way back. Algonquin mythology speaks of shape-shifting beings possibly linked to the dogman. I wonder if they're not talking about skinwalkers here, but I don't believe that this is the area where skinwalkers are existing, so...
They really shouldn't be, no.
No. So, possibly another creature. These beings were often associated with spiritual imbalance or taboo breaking behavior, which is what the skinwalker was associated with as well. So in 1887, coming out of the early lore and folklore in Wexford County, Michigan, this is the first modern encounter. And this is where two lumberjacks working in remote forested areas described a creature with the body of a man and the head of a dog or a wolf. This being walked upright on two legs and was estimated at being around 7 feet tall. And the lumberjacks were reportedly so frightened that they fled the area. This sighting is considered the origin point of the Michigan dogman name and marked the beginning of modern dogman folklore. 1887. So I want to jump forward a bunch.
I do find it interesting that this one doesn't apparently have any like standing in indigenous culture.
What do you mean?
It just like that, it only goes back to the 1880s. There's nothing before that.
Well, it's not like the 1880s with the Native American folklore. That one I don't have a time for, so it could okay. just be like the beginning of time.
Oh, fair enough. You can just skip over the comment.
Yeah. Skipping way ahead to 1987, following up the rear of the original sighting, relates, I promise. There is a April Fool's Day radio broadcast by DJ Steve Cook at WTCM-FM in Traverse City that releases a song we're gonna take a look at because it causes a huge ripple in the dogman community. And I'm gonna play it and then we'll talk about it.
So the officer and I went out there to take a look at it. You know, it was obviously it wasn't a bear because, you know, he just tried to chew in around the doors. And you could see a dog print, you know, alongside the windowsill there. And so it was obviously a dog.
They really didn't spare any expense on this music video.
I wonder if I should be reading this.
I have
a
no
cool
idea.
Summer morning in early June is when the legend began. At a nameless logging camp in Wexford County, where the Manistee River ran, 11 lumberjacks near the Garland Swamp found an animal they thought was a dog. In a playful mood, they chased it around till it ran inside a hollow log. A logger named Johnson grabbed him a stick and poked around inside. Then the thing let out an unearthly scream and came out and stood upright. None of those men ever said very much about whatever happened then. They just packed up their belongings and left that night, were never heard from again. It was 10 years later in 97 when a farmer near Buckley was found, slumped over his plow, his heart had stopped, there were dog tracks all around. 7 years past the turn of the century, they say a crazy old widow had a dream of dogs that circled her house at night. They walked like men and screamed. In 1917, a sheriff who was out a-walking found a driverless wagon and tracks in the dust like wolves had been a-stalking. Near the roadside, a four-horse team lay dead with their eyes open wide. When the vet finished up his examination, he said it looked like they died of fright. In 37, a schooner captain said several crew members had reported a pack of wild dogs roaming Bowers Harbor. His story was never recorded.
Till now.
That was a great rhyme right there.
In 57, a man of the cloth found claw marks on an old church door. The newspaper said they'd been made by a dog. He'd had to stood 7'4". In 67, a van load of hippies told a park ranger named Quinlan they'd been awakened in the night by a scratch at the window. There was a dog man looking in and grinning. Then in the summer of 87, near Luther,
I keep waiting for the chorus to come. It's just not gonna happen.
At a cabin in the woods, it looked like maybe someone tried to break in. There were cuts around the doors, could have only been made by very sharp teeth and claws. He didn't wear shoes because he didn't have feet. He walked on just two paws.
You can only tell a story in this matter if someone could.
You really can.
Screamo, for instance. Well, he could rap it.
Legends are born of stories told, imagination without restriction. But what does a legend become when the truth outruns the fiction? The decades come, the decades go, people still swear they see Interlock and Reed City, Mackinac, there was something looking back at me. And somewhere in the Northwoods darkness, a creature walks upright. And the best advice you may ever get is don't go out at night.
I think Kendrick Lamar should cover this.
That would be the best halftime show in Super Bowl history.
Oh, he's so good.
I don't know if we can play that entire song in our episode. We might lose some people.
You think? Okay, hold
maybe.
On.
Maybe.
It's an important part of
it
the
is
story.
An important okay. part of Dogman lore and history.
I hope that you're still with us. Welcome back. This was an April Fool's prank, by the way. It was not real. I assume Steve Cook did that talking in the video that you just heard. It's called The Legend, and it's referenced mythical creatures from around North America, including what he says is a made-up dogman. Intended as a satire, but the response to this video when they played it was overwhelming. And it was a totally unexpected outcome for Steve, who is a skeptic, because dozens of listeners called in claiming to have seen this creature. Many reports came from Michigan, also neighboring states. Steve Cook said he was shocked at how many people believed or had already encountered the same creature that he had intended as a satire. He later added verses to the song based on real reports and re-recorded it in 1997. And 2007. So I'm not sure what one that we just listened to right there, to be honest with you.
2007.
Okay. One of the phone calls Steve received was from none other than Robert Fortney, who was fishing one summer day on the Muskegon River, closest to the town of Paris, Michigan.
Man, we were unoriginal in naming things when we got to North America.
Yes. The year was 1938, and Fortney was 17 years old. Suddenly, Fortney was attacked by a pack of wild dogs, six, as far as Fortney could count. The teenager was lucky to have his rifle handy for some reason. Before any of the dogs could lunge, he fired one warning shot into the air, and after that, all the dogs scattered, save for one. This black fur canine proved to be no ordinary dog. However, and as soon as the shot rang out, it proceeded to stare into Fortney's eyes with his own piercing blue gaze from a distance of 10 feet. Then it started grinning. Not succumbing to fear, Robert Fortney fired one more warning shot. This time, I think you're only supposed to fire one.
How many bullets did he take? Because I feel like you gotta like play that carefully.
This time, causing the maybe werewolf to run off. However, instead of skedaddling on all fours, this would-be werewolf stood up to around 6 feet tall before running away on two legs. And that was Robert Fortney. Moving on, the sightings continue across the Midwest and beyond. In the 1950s to 60s, this is one of the reports of upright canine creatures in Allegan County, Cross Village, and Manistee, which were often linked with livestock disappearances or deer kills. The behavior was described as territorial and sometimes aggressive. 1993 through 1994, Ottawa County, Grand Haven, a man known only as Ben, reported three separate sightings. One in December 1993 involved the dogman standing on his hind legs behind a car, and it fled only after Ben screamed. Another in 1994 sighting involved a driver hitting what he thought was a deer. When he checked, the body was gone. Only gray fur was left in the grill. I mean, that is not a dogman sighting. How did it even make this into my notes? And what episode is complete without a Skinwalker Ranch reference? This is not anywhere near the Great Lakes, which is the Uinta Basin. It was a police officer, I believe, in Skinwalker Ranch that had the sighting of two dogmen in trench coats smoking cigarettes on the side of the road.
Yeah, I think so.
One of my favorite sightings of dogman ever to be recorded, and one of my favorite encounters in the book. So there was a video that was released of a dogman, and this is referred to as the Gable film that came out in 2007. This supposed vintage 8mm footage showing a dogman attacking someone gained massive attention on YouTube and paranormal sites, followed by Gable Film Part 2 showing a police investigation. Both were hoaxes and were featured on Monster Quest. Linda Godfrey, who I mentioned earlier in this episode, she is like a cryptid hunter or something who has worked on the Beast of Bray Road. She acknowledges the hoaxes of Dogman, and she also defends the credibility of many eyewitnesses, because there are a ton of people who have had sightings of Dogman, and she does suggest that there is consistency of cross independent reports. Now, what I want to end this episode with is somebody who spends a lot of time investigating Dogman encounters in and around this area, but not specific to this area. There just seems to be a pattern, is somebody who we love, Lon Strickler of Phantoms and Monsters. He does not just cover Chicago Mothman. They also follow Dogman. So there's some good news for your day. Let's read some encounters. I didn't do Reddit. Reddit was disappointing on
Yeah, Reddit really is disappointing when it comes to Dogman.
Yeah, so I'm going to read these ones, which I find much more credible than Reddit encounters anyway. Reddit encounters are usually just entertaining. In August 2015, the woman was standing inside her home looking out at a bright, full, or close to full moon when she saw a large canine-looking creature standing at the edge of a pond, approximately 25 yards distance. It was just staring at the pond. It was upright and had a short snout and short pointed ears. It had what appeared to be narrow, flat feet. The only movement noticed was the tail swishing back and forth. She watched it for 10 minutes and it did not move as it continued to stare into the pond on the property, which has apple orchards and is close to the state game lands 33 and 176. The creature was standing sideways to her, so she only saw a side profile. Her husband also advised their one-year-old bulldog went out the next day and squirted all tires on their vehicles to mark his territory. He's never done that. Ever. She was sure the full moon was at the end of the month, but didn't remember the date. A moon phase check for August 2015 revealed full moon on August 29 and 30 August. She estimates the height of the creature to be 8 feet. Note, the only other description of a short snout creature was on November 6, 2014 report, the two dog incident at SGL 331. Next one is a South Central Pennsylvania waste hauler recently observed an unknown cow-sized hyena-like cryptid at approximately 3 a.m.
Those are weird descriptors to put together.
Like that? I know, and that's why I said when I was going through the description, this is generally what you're going to hear described, but then you get into stuff, especially with Lon Strickler. We even had some super weird Mothman encounters that I feel like you wouldn't have seen anywhere else, because people collect evidence to fit what they want to, but this obviously doesn't fit exactly what I was saying with Dogman. I was just gonna call him Bigfoot.
Yeah, because hyena's not a dog, and like a cow is not a man.
Yeah, and a dire wolf is not a, what was it again?
A wolf.
A wolf, right. But dogs come in all shapes and sizes and different breeds of creature, including hyena. Okay, during his route near Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, the following account was recently sent to me. Around 3 a.m. on July 14, 2020, I had my first close cryptid sighting. I'm writing to you in the community to see if anyone else had seen or heard anything the likes of what I saw today. Can I just interrupt? Because I feel like if you know someone and they come up to you and they're like, Taylor, I had my first cryptid encounter.
Yeah.
Do you buy them a cake? And like, congratulations on your first cryptid encounter?
I don't know. You say the first one's never easy. It gets better from here.
Yeah. Tell me everything because I need to put it on my podcast.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a waste hauler, in brackets, trash man, in brackets. I start my days very early. literally every day. So the majority of my work day takes place in the wee hours of the day. I live in South Central Pennsylvania and have resided there nearly my whole life. My place of employment is in the college town of Shippensburg. My job sits on outlying area of Shippensburg. A lot of these areas are surrounded by vast farmlands and open fields. Well, this morning while traveling to the start of my route, I turned down one of the many roads surrounded by fields. It was a half crescent moon, so there was plenty of light to see in the darkness. As I rounded my turn, I saw what looked like a cow lying in an open field. But this field had no fences or wire to keep livestock in, and it was only one. I found this very odd as I'm looking at the broad shoulders of what I thought was a cow. So I broke out my high power mag light to brighten up what I was looking at. What is a mag light?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a flashlight.
Yeah, it's a big flashlight. One of those big candles.
Nice. Okay. It rose up from the ground in a slow, lumbering, and purposeful action. As it came up on all fours, the creature stood about 5 to 6 feet at its shoulder blades. That's taller than I am. I'm elevated, and I sit about that high from the ground. The creature was about 30 feet from me, and I know if I stood toe-to-toe with it, its head would be taller than I, and I'm 6 foot. Now, at this moment, the back of this creature is still facing me. It then turned its head into my light, and the lens flare off its eyes were a yellow-green color, and eyes facing forward. This was a predatory creature, not a damn cow. At that moment, heat and cold wash over my body, and I feel real, genuine, life-threatening fear take over. I don't move. Sitting in the middle of the road, knowing I'm low on the pecking order of the food chain at this moment, it continues to measure me for what felt forever, and it suddenly turned its head and tore off faster than I could know. My pathetic guess is about 30 to 40 miles per hour as it darted away. And after all this, the only thing I could think was that it was some form of giant hyena. The most terrifying real-life creature I've ever witnessed, and it was gone so fast. It's been on my mind all day, and I had to share this experience. I always listen to your show or others and hear about people in their sightings feeling away, wishing for my experience. And as of this morning, I really wish I didn't get my turn. Not like that, not feeling so vulnerable, like it was starting at its next meal. I hope there are others that may have seen or heard what I saw that light can be shed on the topic, especially my area. I work in that darkness all the time. Now I'm looking over my shoulder. Interesting that he's a listener of the podcast and he knew exactly where to report it.
Yeah, I wonder how many of them are actually listeners.
From my experience reading the encounters, very little zero. Of them. Yeah, I've never had one like put it in there that they reported it that day though, because they knew exactly where to report.
Yeah.
Which is pretty strange. Let's just pick one at random because I didn't pick another one. So let's go. Oh, I got another massive hyena one.
Oh, nice.
Or want to do that one?
Yeah, let's do another
hyena. Or do you want to do gruesome cryptid canine?
Yeah, I better do that one.
Gruesome. So we know that that massive hyena is probably on the loose in and around that area, so be on the lookout.
But you can know nothing about it.
Nope. For the past several weeks, I've been referring to a cryptid canine case that was submitted to me by the witness MH. Most of the particulars are included in the witness written report. The Phantoms and Monsters 14 research team and I have talked to the witness on numerous occasions. Quote, this sighting happened on 4/30/22, Birdsboro, Pennsylvania. In the Birdsboro Preserve. This area is just north of French Creek State Park, and the forests intersect with one another. There are roughly 15 to 20 square miles of dense natural woodlands in this area. It is one of the largest forested areas in southeastern PA. It was a crystal clear, warm spring day, and my 12-year-old daughter wanted to learn trout fishing. Interesting. We decided to go up to Hay Creek, which runs for 13 miles through French Creek State Park and through the Birdsboro Preserve. We parked at the north end of the preserve on Old Route 82, now called Hay Creek Road. We hiked up into the old road past the still active larger quarry and continued up about a half mile past it. We found a spot where she could practice wading in the stream in a safe shallow area, for the stream was semi-fast water. There were a lot of people walking, hiking, and horseback riding that day, and not a cloud in the sky. We fished the spot for about 2 hours or so, slowly moving back down the stream. At one point, while I was sitting on the bank enjoying the stream and nature while my daughter was fishing, I heard a loud crash, like a tree was falling over behind us. It was a bit strange because I didn't hear any chainsaws. Funny that he
thought that's the only way trees come down. It's very natural. Yeah.
And this sounded like a huge tree was coming down. It was only a few hundred feet behind us, and it was super loud. Being an avid extreme outdoorsman for 3+ decades, you know when things seem out of place. This was totally different from a tree falling over and then silence. But to him, it just seemed like he thought it sounded exactly like a tree falling over. This went on for about 2 minutes, and I stood up and looked around in the direction the sound was coming from, but saw nothing. I said to myself, that was a bit strange, and it just stopped. About 30 minutes later, I heard the same thing, and again, this went on for 2 minutes again. Now I'm puzzled, and I was like, what the hell is going on? This is not normal. I said to my daughter, let's start heading back down the stream and find another spot. I still did not see anything unusual, but was on alert. I thought to myself, it could be deer up in the back across the road, but this sounded. That sentence does not make a lot of sense. Then I heard a giant crashing through the woods as it was very loud. This time it was definitely closer to us. We walked about 200 yards down the trail and we started hearing this again, and it was even closer than the past two times. We stopped and looked up towards the quarry in the direction of the sound, but still saw nothing. I assume it's crashing of branches. I said we will cross the stream and fish down around the bend. The spot where you cross the stream is about 30 feet wide and very slippery. We took it slow because the water was a bit high for my daughter. We were about halfway across and all hell broke loose with the sound of tree branches breaking again. It took us about 90 seconds to cross the stream and I was holding her hand to help her. The whole time the sound is still going on and I'm looking back but see nothing because we're about 20 feet below the quarry where the old bridge was. Where we crossed the stream, there's about a 6 to 7 foot beam to step up to the road level. I get up first and help my daughter get up with my hand when I see something moving in the distance out of my peripheral vision. I turn and look and see nothing at first. Then in the distance where the sound is coming from, I lock onto a 40 foot pine tree at the top of the quarry, swaying violently side to side at least 5 feet each way. I pointed to my daughter and said, holy crap, what the hell is that? Look! The next 40 to 50 seconds would change my life forever. We were watching the pine tree shake for about 10 to 15 seconds. Then I saw what I thought was an arm reaching out of the tree. I grabbed a bird. It grabbed a bird, which I think was a turkey buzzard. All of a sudden, this thing jumps from the pine tree to a big oak tree about 10 feet away and starts climbing on the outside of the canopy. It pivoted around somewhat like a spider on the top of the canopy and disappears into the branches of this large oak tree. Keep in mind, the leaves are just starting to bud on the tree, and we can see movements in the tree branches.
Yeah, you should be able to see pretty well in an oak tree if there's no leaves on it.
Yeah. This is about 200 to 300 feet away. The whole time, branches are breaking, very large branches, about 2 inches thick. This goes on for about 10 or more seconds, and then this thing jumps out of the tree. Now, these trees are at least 40 feet high, plus it falls another 15 to 20 feet onto a 60-degree incline of rocks. So, about 60 or so feet this thing fell. I thought it was dead. I'll never forget the sound of the impact. This thing hit super hard and rocks started flying down the side of this quarry incline at least 10 feet. When it fell out of the tree, this creature landed on all fours. This thing is lying flat and is a bit dazzled or winded. Then this thing stands up bipedally on its two hind legs and is about 10 to 12 feet in height. I'm thinking that this thing should be dead. I'm thinking bear, mountain lion, Bigfoot. So this thing stands up and then goes back on all fours and jumps like a toad or a frog does, and then clears 20 feet of ground in total, not even trying, as well as jumps in height about 8 to 10 feet in one jump. It was on all fours again, flat like a frog, and then it dropped this bird that it had in its left hand. Keep in mind, this thing landed facing away from us on the right side of us with its back to us and running away parallel to our left. It then reaches out with its left hand and grabs the bird and pulls it back into its chest. The arms on this thing are at least 6 feet plus in length. It has human-like hands and legs. The hands have at least 2 to 3 inch claws on the fingers, as well as, are you thinking monkey?
I'm a little bit.
I'm picturing a monkey.
He hasn't quite got to the head
bit,
yet.
Yeah. As it grabbed the bird, I feel like there's more to this. There has to be. As it grabbed the bird, it turned its head to the side, and I saw the side of the head and face. This thing was bald from the neck up. It had a canine-style snout or nose with an upper jaw with an overhang with very long upper teeth like fangs on a werewolf. No joke about it. And it was hairless, you say. This thing, when it stood up from heel to hip, was 6 to 7 feet in height, and from hip to shoulder was another 3 feet. From heel to top of its head was 10 to 13 feet easy.
And it was mostly leg, too.
The head was like a human's head, but had pointed ears like a dog's, but not on top of the head. It had ears where a human has them, but longer and pointed. It had fur like a deer in length, but very short, brown, gray, and black. The skin was gray in color. This creature was very skinny, though, like it was starving or not healthy. Very skinny, except the forearms, and its legs were very toned. It did not have a tail. This thing stands up again bipedally and takes a step, like a track runner jumping a hurdle, and clears a 15-foot rock face again, easily 6 to 7 feet in height and about 15 feet in length. It took another 5 to 6 steps and went crashing through the woods, and we never saw it again. I stood there in total disbelief, and I was trying to process what the hell this thing was. I'm a no-fear kind of guy, and this thing scared the living crap out of me. I'm standing there completely frozen with fear, trying to make sense of what the hell just happened. I almost lost myself with fear because I've never had that type of fear ever, and I had to talk myself out of it. After about 2 minutes of sheer confusion, I snapped out of the fear factor, and I was now in adrenaline survival mode. My number one concern was my daughter and us getting out of there alive, because this thing ran the same way we had to walk to reach my car. Keep in mind,
yeah, that'd be awkward.
Yeah, this is a busy day with people out from being cooped up all winter. Whatever this thing is, violent and super strong to the point the right thing to do is warn people of this thing. I'll tell you this thing makes a full-grown tiger look like a mouse, and that is no joke. My daughter was confused about what had happened. I was very concerned for her safety. As we were slowly walking back, I actually started to call 911, but never did, because no one would believe me, and I think I was mad out of my mind. I saw a few people on the way back and asked them if they had seen a big animal come down this way, and they all said no.
So the kid said they saw it, right? I can't actually remember that part.
She just says, let's just finish this and see, because okay. I mean, he says that she saw it. A message for all the people out there. One thing I want to say is this. I have been in a lot of national parks and state forests and never once seen anything like this creature. Take everything I thought I knew about wilderness, and it's right out the window to start over. I'm just going to send this to you. You can take a look at the dude.
Oh, yeah. See, that one has too short of legs. He said it was mostly legs. Like, it was, what, 6 to 7 feet to the hip and then 3 feet of torso?
There's actually another one.
Okay, that seems more right.
Yeah, that's the other one.
I wonder what all the dark marks are.
I don't know. He didn't really mention it, did he?
No.
Hats off to Lon and all you people who bring these cryptids to the masses. These things are 100,000 million... This is just 1,000% real. And they are in your backyard, not in some national parks or some extreme remote area. They are very close to us, so please be mindful of your surroundings. I'll never step in the woods without a firearm ever again. This has changed my life, and I'm on an amazing journey to find serious answers. And for all of you who have been seeing crazy creatures and struggle with it, you're you're not alone. Welcome to the Club of No Return. I don't like that that club is called No Return. Keep an open mind and talk to good people who can help you.
I mean, there is kind of a return, you just don't talk about it, right?
Yep. You could
that seems
do
like
that.
The obvious answer.
Yeah, you could just bury it deep down inside and never talk about it again.
Yeah, like a good normal human in this society.
Yeah, but we do love to hear about these, so maybe
yeah,
don't
we do.
Keep it in. You can always tell us, and then we'll get you a cake.
Yeah, and then we'll tell you better encounter. From here. The second one's supposed to be much more enjoyable.
Exactly. But alas, that is the end of the Dogman Encounter episode. Any closing thoughts?
I think there is more to the Dogman community than just that. I know there's a few people who stake their entire career in this area. So I do think this is not going to be our only time going to the Dogman well.
No, definitely not. And I didn't talk about anybody that other than that one girl that talks
yeah.
about the beast on Bray Road.
Well, and Stephen Cook, the biggest of the researchers, of course.
Well, he wasn't a researcher, of course. He just made an April Fool's prank.
And then fixed it by researching and writing the song.
He did fix the song, so I guess he is technically a researcher.
But yeah, while you were reading some of those stories, I quickly went on Coast to Coast AM to see who their Dogman people are. And it appears they have a man by the name of Paul Sinclair as their go-to guy.
Oh, interesting. I yeah. haven't even heard of this guy, so...
He does other things, too, but he's talked on there about Dogman.
I'm a big fan of Dogman. Kind of like him.
And one thing I don't think really came up in this episode, but I've heard before, at least when we used to listen to Coast AM when we were much younger, is I always had Dogman associated with, like, graveyards for some reason. And I don't know if that's
really?
Actually anything that came up. But yeah, I for some reason, I remember on old Coast to Coast AM episodes when they talked about it, he was associated with graveyards and smoking.
See, I don't remember that. For some reason, the smoking does stand out.
Yes.
Graveyards, no, and it didn't come up. So I don't know. Maybe there's room for a future episode of people who talk about Dogman.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Somebody read it.
But
down.
In any event, this is a tricky one to do your own research on because Dogman is also closely associated with the furry and Rule 34 community. So just beware when you're doing your research on Google.
Yeah. The what? 34?
Rule 34, yeah. If it exists, there's porn of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Be careful.
And on that note, I have been Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.